Happy holidays, and welcome to episode 8 of the Final Boss Blues RPG Maker podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the gift of giving, because the holidays are right around the corner. But first up, we are going to have a demo review. I have to note, before we get deep into it, that when I say review, we're not talking about the kind of review that you might find on a website for that suggests games to people. I'm talking about a review from a more of a developer angle. It's more opinionated. It's less...
We judge it from a game design aspect, not from a consumer aspect. Yeah, because a lot of demos showcase gameplay that is in development. We're not playing a final game. We play enough to get our opinion of the game, get an impression of how the gameplay works, and then we share an impression of what we've played.
But exactly.
So that's pretty much how these quote-unquote reviews are, have been, and will be on this podcast.
Yeah, a lot of people gave us a hard time about the last review, but to that we have to say that the review isn't necessarily meant for a consumer to judge the game. The review is meant for our audience, who are developers, and for the developers of the game in question, to take what we're saying and take it as criticism and feedback to improve the final product. We review demos because they're not final products, and that's the whole point of these reviews. So you might not like to call it a review, say what you want, but here we go. Today we're going to be looking at Androgynous by Aerolix. You can find this game on the RPG Maker web forums. There is a demo, and we played a fair bit of it. None of us actually had the time to finish the game, but I put a good 2 or 3 hours into this game.
I tip my hat to you for doing that, because I got up to, I think, the cave, and I was going around there, and I'll talk about my impressions of that later. Yep. But that's how far I got.
I got a little further than these other guys, but we all put some amount of time, so we do have an idea of how this game went. And we're going to go over this game by talking... We're going to try to talk about the good before we go into the bad. So, Raynard, what do you think about this game that worked well?
The art style, although I didn't particularly like the art style, I do have to give points on it for being consistent. I mean, the colors were well done. The art was consistent between the visual novel aspects, the map exploration, and the combat. No piece of art, whether in the menus or anything else, really jumped out at me and went like, wait, no, this doesn't make sense. Why'd they put it in there? It wasn't haphazard at all. Everything really flowed together from an art perspective.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning before we go too much further that to anybody who might not be familiar with this game or who might not have their web browser open in front of them available to take a look at it, this game does have original art. There's no RTP in there. There's not even pixel characters. Every character in this game, all the sprites, all the environments, the faces, it's all hand-drawn. And it has a really unique look to it. And that's the reason why it really stood out to us. That's the reason why we're looking at it in the first place.
It kind of reminds me of a Flash game, the way it was drawn.
Yeah, I was going to mention
playing
that.
Playing it reminds me a lot of a Flash game.
Yeah, the style looks kind of like a Flash game, the way the characters have thick outlines and there's lots of solid colors. But
yeah,
it does not look like your standard RPG Maker game, and that's the reason why it stood out to us. So, Killam, what did you think about this game that was really good for you?
Again, I agree completely with what Raynard said. The graphics were beautiful. It was its own thing. The game had its own feel to it that no other game I played had before, because it was consistent and it had its own style. Another thing, actually, when a game has such good consistency, you can focus on the other stuff of the game. For example, the music. For the first time in an RPG Maker game, I looked past the graphics, because they were fine, and I could appreciate the music, which is all custom, by the way, and it was really nice touch as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I do agree. The music was very well done. I liked the art was consistent, but I didn't like the art itself that much. But I do have to say that the music was very well done. It was well placed. It was good quality. In battles, I would prefer something a bit more high tempo, but that's just a personal thing of mine. But the music that he did have for battles was still well done.
I agree with what you say there about the graphics. That it was great that they were consistent and they were original. I didn't like them for what they were, though, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Think of the worst anime you've seen, and then drop it about 20%.
Yeah, like, mad props to Aerolix for creating completely original graphics, but they could be a lot better, is one way of saying it. I'll mention things
not to knock on it. I mean, if we're talking about somebody who's not a professional artist like anime artists are or other comic book artists, we're talking about somebody on their own time as a hobby. These are decent graphics. The only thing we didn't like about them is just it wasn't really our art style, and then you can really tell it comes off as amateur anime impressionist art.
Yeah, especially with the flashiness in the sense of it looks like a flash game. The whole style, it doesn't appeal to me
it's
personally.
It's consistent, but it's not one we personally enjoy. Killam loved the crap out of it because
The thing is, at first I thought it was weird as hell, like the sprite would just look so weird, but it kind of grew on me slowly. I got used to it, and once I did, it actually worked a lot.
Yeah, the main character sprite, I didn't like its animation much, but because it's a demo, I think there's definitely a chance to go back and change it to maybe add some more frames would be amazing.
The only art I had a problem with, or that I didn't like, were the character portraits. I mean, while exploring the maps and the little sprites, I was fine with that. Those looked fine. Like, it was just the character portraits, because the proportions seemed kind of off, and it seemed just kind of like not quite anime.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It seemed like low-quality anime for the portrait, but the maps themselves, the art there looked great.
Yeah.
I had no problem with that.
So was the main character sprite the only actual sprite in this game? I'm thinking, and I think that's the only one I've actually seen.
Yeah, actually there is. It is.
So the main character is the only sprite you ever see on a map, which is a little awkward, but we're going to be getting into that because we're going to be talking about the visual novel aspect of the game. But before we get into that, I want to talk about the other good thing that I really liked about this game. And I really, really dig the mythology and the themes that this game presents. I don't think that this game executes those themes very well at all. I'm going to be talking about that a little later on. But at the base of it, the theme of this game is gender and gender roles. I mean, you can understand from the title of the game is androgynous, that gender plays a massive role in this game. And there's the whole mythology of the magic and the difference between man and woman. And that's something that a lot of RPGs don't even talk about these days. I mean, there's this whole idea that, you know, men and women have to be equal now because of all of that. But and then this game takes it from looks at it from the other angle, where it actually goes deep on the gender roles, and it's a strong theme throughout the game. And I give them mad props for that. The whole mythology.
In a hobby game
the
like
gods,
this is the. I was going to say the hobby game like this is the perfect medium for it, because for a commercial game, if you try and address topics like these, you can really hurt your profits, because not many people will want to deal with a theme like this.
It is commercial.
It is commercial?
Yep.
It's going to be commercial?
Well, there's a difference between indie commercial and big commercial, too.
I'm just saying that, okay, it's going to be commercial. Because of the theme he's going for, it's going to hurt his sales a bit, because people are going to go, oh, well, gender rules. People get a bit huffy.
I disagree with that. I think that as an indie commercial game, the theme can be a massive draw. If it's the kind of game that a giant studio is going to put out to sell to the you know, public audience, then this kind of theme might not be the best choice. But
I agree there is a market for it amongst indie players.
Yeah.
But it is going to hurt his sales in a bit of there are going to be players that will refuse to play it because of what it is. And now that I am aware that it's a commercial game, because I downloaded the demo. I didn't read the topic at all.
I didn't know it was a commercial game.
Yeah. And now that I think about it as a commercial game, that kind of reflects some other stuff about it. The art for the character portraits definitely needs to be improved, and there's some other stuff. But we'll talk about that when we get to the ugly side of the discussion.
Yeah, I wanted to mention a little bit more about the mythology and how gender reacts to it or builds into it, because there's this idea that the intro of the game is really fascinating to me, but I didn't get anywhere where the intro really paid off. Like, when you first open the game, you're this mysterious godlike character, and somebody talks about creating multiple realities. And that was like, wow, this game has something really cool going for it. But then I played the game, and there wasn't much about multiple realities. It was just this one self-contained world with the whole gender stuff.
Well, they tied it. Maybe they, I just didn't go in later. I thought that little creepy girl thing that is in the intro was the goddess that came up and tricked the god.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And cut off his member and all that. That's what I thought And when I saw that later on in the demo, I was like, oh, that's what that intro was about. I was the god. That witch chick came up and tricked me and all this jazz. And I was really annoyed that I couldn't tell her to just piss off. Like, don't give me the option to say, yeah. No, I don't want to if I can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because every time I go, she just goes, I'm just going to say no till you say yes. I'm just going to ask till you say yes. I'm just going to ask. I'm like, no. I did it 20 times.
Yeah. But like there's the idea where it says let's create a bunch of new realities where they're all a little bit different, and when you first start the game it says reality number 4000 whatever, you know. But yeah. And I thought that was really cool to potentially explore other realities in the game. Maybe you do further in the game. I'm not going to say that you don't. I'm just going to say up to the point where we played, we didn't get any more of that, but I would really like to see some more of that play out into the game itself. Because I think there's a lot of potential in that idea, and there could be some really cool stuff going down.
Yeah, definitely going to different realities and looking at the way they were fragmented would be interesting. Instead of just going, I died, can you create other realities where I don't die, and then we only deal with the reality where she doesn't die? You have this cool concept, and then you just kind of throw it away.
Yeah.
It becomes more of like, a cool concept, I'm going to use this as an excuse to make the villain relevant. When instead you could have not teased us with this and just make it so the villain went up there and cut God's dick off.
Yeah. Speaking of relevant villains, let's talk about the things about this demo that we did not like. And I'm gonna start off with one thing that really, really annoyed me, and it actually completely ties into our topic for today of rewarding the player, is there's this the first major dungeon that you go to after the intro dungeon in the forest is this cave, right? And you go through this cave, you fight a bunch of annoying, long, random battles, and then at the end, you fight the boss. There's this door. And you go to the door, you fight the boss, you beat him, and then you think you're going to open the door, get a reward, and the door does not open. And the characters go, oh, well, that was a waste of time, let's go back to the town and get our new quest. And I was furious. The whole dungeon was a waste of the player's time. It was just a punch in my face. You know,
I am
like,
so
I
glad
fight this
you told
boss.
Me about that before I finished. Because I got to... I was going through, and I got about... I saw the door. They were like, all right, let's go find this door. I could see it walking around it, and I was about to get to it. And I was just like, oh, these battles, I'm not going to be able to deal with this boss because I'm running from everything because it's just, and I'll get into the battles later. But as soon as Deathbane said, oh yeah, by the way, when you get to the end, the door doesn't open. I just went, ooh, I'm going to stop here before I flip my table.
Yeah, you beat the boss and you don't get anything for it except let's go back to the town and get a new quest. And that was just...
That will piss off.
That annoyed
so many
the heck
people.
Out of me. I was livid.
Especially because the battles in that cave were actually really difficult and you got no reward for it. It was...
Yeah, so Rainer, yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit more about the battles and what we didn't like about them?
Yes. The major thing I didn't like about the battles, and this is consistent through all of the battles, is the pacing is not only very slow, but it takes way too many rounds to kill an enemy.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is XP's fault, but the battle pacing seemed very slow between selecting attacks and the actual attacks playing out. There's way too many pauses. So if there's a way to speed up the battles, that's awesome. If there isn't, I can understand that's a limitation in the engine. But as far as what you can control that I know for certain is the enemies have way too much HP.
Definitely.
Basically, the general rule of thumb is you should be able to wipe out the enemy within 2 to 3 turns for regular battles.
For the intro, at least, 2 turns maximum for the intro, definitely.
For, like, the very first battle, like, 2 turns maximum. I'm talking about, like, as you're, like, regular battles you're walking around, 2 to 3 rounds tops. If I'm taking more than those, and another thing I didn't like is my healer was way too squishy. Her
healer
HP was so low that if every enemy targeted her, she was dead, and I'd have to waste an item
to
resurrect.
And the healer did not do anything attack-wise. I mean, you could equip her with some magic attacks later on once you got them, but if you didn't need to heal for a turn and you just attack with her, she would do like 6 damage while the other guys would be doing like 200-300. So it was just the healer character seems totally useless unless you need to heal.
And also she has a heal where you can only target one person at a time, and I was getting into battles where I really could have used to heal everybody at once, and throughout the time I played, I never got a heal all attack. And if all she can do is heal, I need either a heal all or some other stuff. But as far as the battles go, they just took way too long. They didn't feel rewarding.
And they were random. Definitely worth noting, they were random battles.
Yeah, there are random battles. I walk on the screen, I run around. I'm usually fine with random battles, but I think the occurrence was that if I have to have fun with the battles. Like, if I'm playing Final Fantasy and I run around and I get, oh, it's a random battle, they don't annoy me because I'm like, duh, 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 duh. All right, I wiped him out within a turn or two. Like, I basically, the only reason battles should take as long as they did is if I'm not hitting the enemy's weakness. I mean, kill him like the fact that you couldn't just spam attack.
Yeah, that was a big plus, but it needs work.
The problem was is that I was using skills, but my skills wouldn't kill everything in like one or two hits.
Yeah.
So after a handful of battles, I'm out of mana, and I either have to have mana regeneration stuff with me, or I have to leave and come back to regenerate. Because once I run out of mana, what can I do? I can't just spam attack. It takes too long.
Well, I don't know. For me, the gameplay actually wasn't that bad because I went back and I actually had to grind for the first time in an RPG Maker game. I had
grinding,
to grind.
Ugh.
No, it appeals.
You never have to grind in a game.
Grinding should never be necessary. It should always be an option for people who want to do it, who like to feel powerful. But to require a player to grind is just nasty.
Get through the game without grinding ever.
No, I don't agree. For the intro, you definitely should. You should not have to grind for the first few hours, but this game made you grind for the first few hours.
No. You should never have to grind. If you want to grind to be better prepared, that is up to you. But I should never have to grind. As soon as I'm playing through an RPG and it says, oh, by the way, you need to grind 10 levels to get up to this point, I'm going to say, fuck you, I'm done.
I mean, I understand a little bit of grinding if you're, like, ready before a boss and you got your guys are so close to moving up the next level. Get a few extra battles in there for the experience. But if you have to walk around for a couple hours just getting stronger before you can take on a boss, that's just, it wastes the player's time and makes them not want to play the game anymore.
I don't know. I kind of like that. It was just me. That's just me personally.
I'm a masochist. If you want me to grind, you need to give me an objective to go with it. Like, oh, go to this section of the forest and find stuff. I need a path. I need an objective. If you just sit there and go, oh, there's a boss next up here. You should walk around in a circle and hit enemies.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, your battles aren't fun. No.
What if the battles were a lot more interesting and fun? Would it
affect? If the battles were a lot more fun, I wouldn't mind. Like, I will grind the crap out of Persona 3 and 4 because the battles are fun to play.
Yeah. Like Paper Mario, Pokemon, I like grinding in those because it's actually entertaining.
Yeah, I don't mind grinding in that. Like, with Pokemon, I don't mind grinding because the grinding in that is, oh, let me find a Pokemon I'm looking for. So if I don't like it, I can just run and find something else.
And that ties into the idea, again, of rewarding the player. We're going to be talking about that a little more on in the future.
Exactly. That's the main thing. The battles in Androgynous were not rewarding at all.
I felt like nothing in this game was rewarding. The big thing for me was that boss. That just killed the game for me. You beat a boss and you don't get anything, and you just have to go back to where you started, and then your guild leader says, all right, go to this other town and do something else instead. And it's just my God.
Just tell me to go to the other town in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, it
or
was
just
a huge
like,
waste
oh, by the way, the door's sealed and there's no way to open it. Don't even try. Well, I want to try it. You're going to waste your time. Go to this other town and deal with this. If you want to check it out, you can, and then that boss is optional. If I'm told it's pointless to go there, but you can if you want, then that makes me go, well, I want some extra experience.
Oh.
I'll try it anyways.
Yeah, that's great. I would love to see that. Just go to the cave if you want, and that's a fantastic idea. I agree.
Yeah, that would be a great fix.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it so it's not mandatory, but it's optional. The players go, well, I want to check it out anyways, but the guild leader goes, it's going to be pointless, I assure you. You should go do this to find a way to open it, but if you want to, the option's open. And then the player from there can go, do I want extra experience, or do I want to get on with the story? That would be a great fix to implement it and fix that problem with that dungeon.
And an easy fix is to have the boss just drop something, like a little magic spell.
Like, give it a bonus item or something, like an upgraded weapon or some reason to go in there.
Even a bonus item or upgraded weapon, I would still get mad because the players literally say, well, we're not opening this door, let's go back to the town.
Yeah, no,
but
that
it helps.
Extra item is in under the circumstance where this dungeon is optional at first.
Yeah, if it's optional, that makes sense, but even if you give me an extra item or something, if I get to the end of a dungeon and they say, well, too bad, you wasted your time, that extra item's not going to cut it for me.
No, I agree, that's going to be totally pointless.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it does help.
I need to progress. You can't just sit there and go, well, good job, you killed a guy, let's leave, because we ain't fucking with this door. I guess the guild leader was right. And it's like, oh, okay. Another thing I didn't like was the protagonist.
Hmm? What about him?
He tried way too hard. The developer tried way too hard to just make this guy seem like he's just like, I'm womanizer extraordinaire. The thing is, when you want to have,
he's
like,
also friend-zoned, which he talks about quite a bit.
Yeah. That's the thing. They break a lot of fourth wall stuff, and it's not Deadpool quality. But it's the reason I don't like the protagonist is there's nothing likable about him. I mean, you look at other characters
there's
that are kind
of
womanizing.
There's nothing likable about any of the characters in this game.
I don't know.
The characters I like, they were all just kind of, eh, these guys are annoying as hell. Why
they were
do
just,
I want to be with these?
Yeah, they seem to me like you just filled your game with generic anime archetypes.
No, yeah. they were funny, though. I liked them because I laughed the first time in an RPG Maker game. Like, I just laughed.
I didn't
even
laugh.
Forced.
I looked at it, and I was just like, oh, this is stupid. Like, are you a girl? Of course he's not a girl. Do you see tits? Just because he's got pink hair doesn't mean he's a girl.
Yeah,
he's
but
got pink hair. You can see them through his vest.
That's a common thing trope, though, in all anime art JRPG games. No. Half of them look like girls, and it was funny that he addressed that.
If the guy he asked actually looked like a girl, but he didn't look like a girl, so it was just, all right, that's stupid.
Well, you know, actually, I didn't mind that part. I thought there was a lot of potential in there because the idea of, you know, oh, maybe yeah. This character was a girl and he was, you know, secretly hiding in there, this area where girls aren't supposed to be. But so later on in the game, you go to the beach and this dude takes his shirt off and it's like, oh, well, what was the whole point of that whole exchange in the first place?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is if you could confuse the character for a girl, it would be better. I think you should redraw it, make him look way more of a stereotypical female, give him really long hair, have him wear a robe, you know, make it look kind of bulky so you can't tell if he has tits or not, give him more feminine features. The way he looks right now, he looks like a guy. Like, there was no, I would not mistake that for a woman at all. So,
well, that might tie in the comedy, because he looks like a guy. To say that he doesn't look like a guy is kind of funny.
I didn't read it as thinking it was a guy. I read it as the main character questioning the character, you know, maybe, are you a girl in disguise as a man to get access to the secret society? That's the way I interpreted it. And when I look at it from that way, it's pretty good. But then I look at the rest of the game and the type of humor, and then I start to realize that maybe it wasn't actually intended as intelligent as I read it.
He did, yeah.
Like, maybe I'm giving him a little
I saw it for what it was with consistent with the rest of the jokes. But anyways, the reason I didn't like the protagonist is, and the point I'm trying to make, is there in anime or in other games, you'll have characters that are quote-unquote unlikable, but there is still something likable and something you can associate with that character. I mean, you look at like Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop, where he just doesn't care about kids. He doesn't, you know, he's just, but he's chill. He's cool. Like, he doesn't try too hard with that. With this main character in Androgynous, he was just like, I'm a lady killer extraordinaire.
He's absolutely not.
And the girl was like, why are you staring at that tree like it's got tits? I'm just like, okay, this is, no. Like, you want to make a guy seem like a womanizer, make him go like, all right, I've got these good qualities, but when I see an attractive woman, I go, hey, how you doing? Show me he's a womanizer by having him womanize. Don't tell me he's a womanizer, just flat out. You're beating me over the head with these details, and it comes off as really just, ugh. I found it very annoying.
And you didn't even get to the kissing contest part.
Nope.
Or the beach scene.
Nope.
Which I don't want to go in depth on those, because I found them completely unbearable.
You're just, it's a genre kind of thing. It's called a VN, get over it.
I don't think visual novels are this bad.
Have you read a visual novel? Fate, School Night, like School Days. This isn't that bad if that's what you're criticizing at all. This is nothing, actually. You guys should play that.
You didn't even get to see these scenes.
You didn't get to these sequences.
If you got to these sequences, I think even you, in your anime fandom, might have found them a bit, just a bit out of
yeah,
line.
I
want to
talk.
Hell no, dude. I want to see that kissing scene. That sounds adorable.
Okay, there was no kissing. She ended up hitting him with a mallet, and
I know, that sounds adorable and cute, and I enjoyed to see that. I already can tell.
I would like to mention that this whole relationship contest section, there was no gameplay whatsoever. You didn't even get to choose choices. Like, when I got into this, I was like, okay, this is kind of lame, but let's play along with it. Maybe I'll have some options, you know. I can choose the way that my character interacts with the other character to try to get the best score, and there's none of that. It's just
like a visual novel.
It's just press the space bar over and over and over again.
Welcome to the visual novel world, dude. That's how it works. This is a very...
No. You didn't get to make choices. In a visual novel, you get to make choices.
There were no choices whatsoever.
Not all the time. You get to make choices.
You should.
This was the perfect opportunity for them to have put some gameplay choices into the visual novel part, because it was an actual contest where you are graded by the audience. But that didn't happen. Instead, you just watched and read the whole thing happen in front of you, and you had no input at all.
I don't know. You guys should actually play some visual novels so you know what you're talking about, I guess.
I'm not talking about visual novels. I'm talking about Androgynous.
Yeah, and that's it's basically a visual novel with combat.
Okay, Killam, we don't like this aspect of the game, and there's a way that can make it better as an RPG.
I know, but I'm saying that this is a specific genre to other people.
But that is a poor gameplay decision.
Even not as an RPG, even as a visual novel, you usually have choices in visual novels, right? You're able to choose different aspects of the game instead of just watching the whole thing play out in front of you.
Stuff. You get to choose, and then you see the results of your choices.
It depends.
With this contest, you had no choices whatsoever. You show up, you see this pointless contest that seems to have
nothing
to do with the
story. You spend 15 minutes pressing the space bar while reading some bland anime dialogue, and it doesn't go anywhere. And and at the end of it, you just... The worst part is at the end of it, you just go back to your guild leader and she tells you somewhere else to go on your next quest. It's like 20 minutes of nothing. It doesn't add to the game, adds very little to character development.
Let's have our offbeat anime episode.
And that, I don't know. Honestly, my argument against that is that this is a niche. You know what? This is people Kill like this kind of stuff.
Or you can say it's just like visual novels. This is the niche it's appealing to. You need to play and see these scenes and then make that decision.
Yeah, and I definitely will. And I'm looking forward to watching that kissing contest because I've seen a lot worse, believe me, and I've enjoyed it.
All right, so let's move on to our final thoughts. I think Killam's is pretty clear, Mr. Bad Taste over here. What would you say about this?
Mr. Bad Taste, reading an asshole.
What would you say what would you say your final thoughts are for Androgynous?
I would touch up, and again, this is commercial, so I would really brush up on the combat and gameplay because that's the core of this game. But the graphics, I like the dialogue personally because this game appeals to me and what kind of a person I am, not to the other people. I don't really care about them. So I'm going to give this a thumbs up, but just work on the combat.
Reynard?
My final thoughts on this game are the entire aspects of the game I played, it came off as a game that wanted to be an anime but could not reach the quality of an anime. And
that's not saying much.
The combat was really slow and lacking. There's many ways that this game can be improved, and for a commercial game, there is absolutely no way me as a consumer would spend money on this. Maybe you should get Taste.
I do. That's why I like VN.
Okay, my final thought on this game.
I'm not done with my final thought. I just want to say that if you want to make this game commercial, like Killam said, you need to improve the combat, you need to improve the character portraits, try and redraw them, try to get better at proportions and whatnot. I mean, the level art was fine. I had no problem with the environment art. The environment art was great. My only problem were the battlers and the characters seemed just... They could have been improved, in my opinion. But they were good. He's got good consistency, but the combat needs to be improved, the dialogue needs to be improved. Don't try to be so cheesy, please. Just try and improve and think about your characters and say what you're writing out loud. Because if you say it out loud, it may just sound really ridiculous to you and you'll want to rewrite it a bit better. But yeah, so that's my final thoughts, is I don't recommend this demo to people, but this game can be good if it gets some improvements on its combat and dialogue.
Yeah, I agree with you for the most part. I think that the game has a very specific target audience. As in very, very, very specific. Maybe Killam and his anime friends will be into this game. But for the most part...
People who have taste.
But for the
Killam, I like anime, and I don't like this.
But for the most part, the average person is not going to be enjoying this game. It's really pretty at first. You see the screenshots, and you think, wow, I want to download this game and check it out. But when you're actually playing it, when you're actually just sitting there watching the characters speak to each other and getting into really, really long, difficult battles... It seems like it's a waste of time, and I think that is absolutely highlighted by the end of that cave dungeon, where it literally was a waste of your time. So I'm also going to give this a thumbs down. So I think that's all we have for our demo review of Androgynous. Check it out. You guys certainly are welcome to have different opinions than us, so check out the thread on RPG Maker Web Forums. So with that out of the way, let's move into something that we have foreshadowed a little bit. And we're going to talk about today's topic. And in the holiday spirit, we're talking about the gift of giving, as in rewarding your player. We are talking all about player rewards today. And this can be a lot of thing in your game. Just think about little ways that the player can get rewarded for playing the game. I mean, on one level, obviously, you can give the player items or gold, or you can give them a new skill, or even a new little piece of story. And we're going to be talking about ways to implement those in your game, and good ways to make the player feel like he's doing something that's worthwhile. So I think Reynard is going to kick us off on this.
Yes. I am going to discuss something that is very dear to my heart when it comes to game design, and that is rewarding the player for going off the beaten path, for exploring the game, walking away from the critical path. Because most games, they have a critical path. Like, when I've done game testing, we'll have people who do 100% playthrough, where they have to get all the exploration rewards and stuff unlocked. And then there are players who, and then there are testers who do the crit path, where they just have to do the exact objectives to get to the end of the game as quickly as possible. And as far as doing the 100%, it's more of, if I'm walking around and there are some NPCs that kind of hint towards this extra dungeon I can go look at, or it hints towards, oh, there's this story thing to find out, or finding books, whatnot. Basically, if you offer a side path to the player and the player goes off on that path, there needs to be something rewarding at the end of that path, or along that path. Like, if you do a bonus quest, you should give them a good item. You should give them some more exposition. It's not like you're just giving away things to the player. It really gives you a chance to flesh out the world and the story of your game. So I think that when you're running around doing all this side content, you definitely need to keep in mind what type of items would help the player for putting in this extra effort. And because if the player decides to do this little side exploration and they start off exactly where they started, like the item they get isn't really that great, or the story they get was kind of redundant, then they just wasted their time. They could have just continued on the critical path.
That's a worthwhile point. The idea that so the reward has to be proportional to the amount of time that the player puts into getting that reward.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's my thoughts on the topic.
Well, even without the items, like the critical path itself, like a good example of this, I'm sure you guys know, Final Fantasy 13 was a huge contender of this. They did not have anything but the critical path, and if it wasn't for that, it would have been a really good game. But again,
they did. The thing is the vast majority of the first half of the game was, yes, it was all critical path. It's go from point A to point B, hit enemies. When you get to Grand Pulse, then it's the RPG elements everyone loved, where it's, there's side objectives, there's areas to explore. There was tons of side content.
I mean, yeah, I love that. It's a great game, but I can definitely see how that's a shortcoming and how people stop playing at that point, because you need that exploration element, or no one's going to care about the game.
Well, I disagree. I enjoyed it because it was critical path. Because for me, when I play a game, the only reason I'm going to do a side objective is if it fleshes out the story. And a lot of RPGs, they'll have side content that's just, oh, go kill this thing. And I'm like, okay, what do I get out of it? Do I get story? Oh, no, you get to kill this boss and you get a really cool armor. Oh, that's going to get outmoded in... that's a waste of my time. If I get this, there's no point in going down there and getting that piece of equipment, because I can just continue along, fight this other stuff. But if I go down the side path, and then while going along, I get to run into like these side villains, and I get in a confrontation with them, and we exchange dialogue, or I get to make a choice that affects my character. And then when I get to the end, I get this cool piece of equipment that may be upgraded later. But you know, it still adds.
You know, that's absolutely reward. Reminds me of the ultimate side quest. When I think about side quests, this is pretty much my favorite, the big, best one ever. And of course, I'm talking about the lovers in The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, the Cafe and Anju storyline. And what I love about this most is that the quest itself, it's rewarding. Like, as you do it, as you get to know these characters over the course of the 3 days, you get some masks, and there's lots of other side quests that go into it. It's pretty much the ultimate, because it's the last one you can do, because you have to do all the other side quests before you can do this one in full. And when you finally get to the end of this one and you accomplish it, I remember just crying like a little baby, because at the end of it, you've put so much into it, that the reward of the final cutscene of the two lovers hugging and the moon comes and kills everybody, it's just depressing, but it's depressing in a way where you feel really emotionally invested because the quest itself pulled you so much into their story that the reward would not have felt as good if you hadn't worked so hard to get it. I hope that makes sense.
Wait, you watch the moon kill everyone? I thought, like, you finished that quest and then you get to go back in time.
You know the moon's coming.
Oh, okay, the idea of the moon.
And they're hugging together, they've finally
wasn't that side quest?
Out the window and you can see the moon, like, right above them, because this is the side quest that, the very end of it, you can only finish it, like, right before the end. And that's what makes it so intense.
Yeah, but the other thing about that side quest, there's two things that were interesting about that side quest. Wasn't during that side quest, you get to play as somebody who isn't Link?
It's huge. This side quest is massive.
Yeah, you play as the guy. And that's like the first time in a Zelda game
you play as him in a little mini dungeon.
And
the big thing about the side quest is that it's so big.
The other thing I found interesting, which was kind of morbid, from what I read, is that if you fuck up that quest, you can leave Cafe behind in the dungeon. And then that just kind of adds to the stakes. The fact that you can
that game had a lot of
stop it and prevent this from ever happening.
But when you get to the end, it's rewarding. It's seriously rewarding because you put so much, and it's the kind of thing that you can't really do from the beginning because the game is structured with the whole 3-day system. You see these characters running around the city throughout the 3 days, and after you've put so many hours into the game, you're finally at the point where you have all the pieces together where you can tackle this massive quest, and you put their lives together and you realize how it all fits in, and it's just like it's intense, and I think that intensity is really unique for side quests, and I would like to see more side quests tackled where the quest itself encourages the reward because it gives the player more of an emotional investment instead of just, you know, take this extra path and here's a hard boss and here's a special armor, right? There's not much investment.
Yeah, there are more rewards. There are more rewards in a game than just tangible items.
Yeah, I actually wanted to talk about that. People always directly correlate side quests and rewards with just items, but you can do character development. And Raynard, you said that even like an optional boss, that wouldn't be a reward. For me, if the gameplay is strong, that could be a reward in itself. Hey, there's a bounty here. Why don't you go catch it? It's a fun boss. You get gameplay out of it, so it's fun for me. I don't know. That might be just my personal opinion.
No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to fight a boss, but I'm saying that if I can, like, if you've got this side objective and the only benefit I got of it is a helmet that's going to be boosted and some random experience, and I'm just like, I can get that experience just continuing. Basically, if there is no story reward, or if there's no reward besides experience, items, and money to do this side thing, I'm like, I don't need that. I can just continue along because the money doesn't matter. I'm going to have a ton of money at the end of the game anyways. You know, this other stuff doesn't matter. I mean, like, when I play Persona, I do all that side stuff because every side thing is a bonus character stuff. And some of the side objectives were stuff I could do along the critical path. Like in Persona 3, it's Lady Elizabeth. She has missions that you can do, such as defeat this type of enemy and get me this item, or, you know, while you're walking around outside of the dungeon, find this item and bring it back to me, or show me this place. This is all stuff I can do that doesn't disrupt my critical path. It's something I waste time on, but it's something that it's more like, oh, okay, while you're doing this critical thing, go find this thing for me. And I'm running around like, oh, I found this item she wants. And then when I'm back at camp and like healing and restocking, I can stop by and talk to her. She's like, oh, hey, thanks for getting this for me. Here's this reward. To me, I'm like, all right, that's cool. That's a great way to go off the beaten path. And it's going off the beaten path while still being on the beaten path.
Yeah, it's not a hindrance, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That's my main point, is nothing you put in the game as a side objective to reward the player, don't make it feel like a hindrance. Whatever the reward is, it has to make the player feel like their time was well spent.
Absolutely, I agree.
So yeah, that's my thoughts. What about you, Killam? What are your thoughts on this whole topic?
Well, again, besides actual tangible rewards, there's a reward that you can give your player that doesn't even tie into, that ties directly into gameplay, and that's leveling up and the whole psychology behind it. Like, when you level up your character, you feel good. You hear that little jingle and like, all right, I'm stronger now. I can tackle more enemies. And that's a good feeling. That's why you
Junpei leveled up.
Yeah, that's exactly. Like, you love that because, hey, I'm stronger now. That drives the gameplay in its own because if you didn't level up, why would there be gameplay? There's no point to go into a battle, right? So that's why leveling up is such a strong aspect of gameplay. I'll even throw in some psychology, I guess. When you start a game, you're strong. You have the first dungeon. You go through the dungeon. You wipe out everything, right? In like one or two turns because it's easy. And you're stronger than you, the enemies are. And then when you progress the game, the enemies get harder. And you lose that self-confidence you had in your character. So you try to strengthen it again by leveling up and by fighting enemies to get that power back almost.
And then when you level up and you're beating those enemies, you feel a reward from that.
Yeah,
it's like, these guys were kicking my ass, and now I'm wiping the floor with them. Yes!
Yeah, exactly. You feel good about yourself. You feel good about the characters. It's such a rewarding experience. And that really drove why I loved RPGs so much.
Yeah. I mean, there's some RPGs. Like, there was a Paper Mario that came out for 3DS. Where battles were totally pointless. You just got coins.
Yeah, I heard about
that. There was no experience, no levels.
So much criticism that received.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to battle if you don't get anything out of it? It's just, like you said,
you get coins, you can buy stickers. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, that ties into what you said about the hindrance. Then battles are a hindrance, and that's if your main gameplay is a hindrance, you did something really, really wrong.
Exactly. I mean, otherwise, I'm just going to be like, I don't need money. I'm just going to run from everything. It's no.
And nothing's stopping you from doing it anyway, so why not?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's how I feel is when I'm playing a RPG I like is my rule of thumb with most RPGs is never run from a battle because then I'll never have to grind. If I just fight everything, that's fine. And in a well-paced RPG, that works because if it's random encounters, if I kill everything I run into, if the gameplay is well-paced enough, then I will get the experience and the levels I need just by fighting the stuff I encounter normally, and I'll never have to sit there and grind. But if the battles aren't fun, then I'm going to be really tempted to run, and if I keep running, then I'm not going to be powerful enough to deal with anything else. So, I mean, especially with an RPG, if you've got battles, if you've got turn-based battles, you've got to try and make them fun.
Definitely.
Otherwise, it's going to be frustrating as hell.
And again, going back to the whole leveling aspect, Final Fantasy VIII took leveling a lot differently from the previous Final Fantasies, and it just killed the game for me. Basically, enemies leveled up with you if you guys haven't played Final Fantasy. So when you leveled up once...
Or if you've played any Elder Scrolls game.
Or Faded Haven.
I don't play Elder Scrolls, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Faded Haven.
Or Faded Haven, RPG Maker. Yeah, you know, I know you didn't like it, but me personally, if I'm fighting enemies and the enemies level up with me, that keeps the challenge consistent. It is easy to fuck up, yes, but it just goes, okay, I don't need to grind because the enemies are going to be leveled with me. They're always going to be.
I don't like that because the whole idea for me of leveling up, the reward is that, yes, I'm stronger, these guys are weaker, and if the enemies level up with me, it's like, why am I trying to get better? If they can get better without even putting the effort, right? They don't need the experience points. I get the experience points, and they get the reward.
Exactly.
That's not cool.
The pacing, the idea behind that is that it changes the dynamics of leveling up. The purpose of leveling up changes. Whereas, why do I need to level up if they're always going to be at my skill level? Well, leveling up gives you new skills. It gives you new points to be able to unlock new abilities that will make the fights easier via strategy, not just blunt force trauma. So it's, why do you need to level 5 points? Oh, I need to get these levels so I can unlock this skill, because with this skill, even though these enemies are still at my level, I can wipe the floor with them because I hit their weakness and I hit this other thing. Whereas if you're level up a whole ton and then you're running these super weak enemies, it's like, all right, I can just spam attack.
See, I like
and
that
just
feeling.
Destroy them. It's like, at that point, you might as well just run because the experience is negligible. Because the other thing behind the enemies are always leveling up with you, their experience rewards are also the same. You don't have to worry about, oh, I have to go to this certain area to level up. It's just go outside wherever you are and level, and the enemies will level with you, and the experience points level with you, so you can still get stronger, and you don't have to worry about, well, crap, I've been leveling off of these, but they don't give me enough experience.
Well, I don't like that because I do this sometimes. Like, when I'm playing a Final Fantasy, like, 4 or something, and I get, like, level 80 everyone, I'm going to go back and I'm going to kill goblins from the first stage because I'm feeling really low on my self-esteem. So I'm just going to go
there's
back.
Also,
yeah, I do that all the time when I'm feeling bad about myself.
I don't go to any old area unless there's a purpose.
I love that. I love going to – I love having an area that I had a lot of trouble with and going back to it and just massacring everything. Because
that reminds me
I'm
of how they did it in Earthbound. When your character was strong enough, if you had a certain number of levels above the enemy, if you touched
the enemy would run.
Yeah, not only would they run on the map, but if you touched them, they would just straight up die right there. You wouldn't even have to get into the battle. It's
yeah,
like, all right, this is so easy for you at this point. You can just kill them right here, and you maybe get an item or experience or something without even having to go into the battle screen. And I think that's beautiful.
That, I think, is cool.
Yeah.
That I think, is cool. But I'm talking about where, like, a traditional turn-based, like, Final
Earthbound
Fantasy.
Had a pretty traditional
I don't
battle.
Know.
Where if I'm super powerful, the enemies are too weak, I just run. I don't slaughter them because I'm like, you're not even worth my time.
All right.
Like, I don't feel the need to go, ha, you kicked my ass, now I'm going to crush you. I'm just like, eh, is there a purpose to fighting you? Your reward is negligible, you're not worth my time.
Well, I don't know, like, a cockatrice, when you first went into the cave or whatever, a cockatrice continuously stoned you, and it was just so hard, but you got through it. You go back, and you just rape his face. I love that so much. It's like...
No, and I can understand where you're coming from, and yeah, that's rewarding for some people. Me, personally, though, I'm just like, all right, I got past that cockatrice. I don't feel the need to go back and whip his ass because he gave me a hard time.
But...
I'm just like... All right, I can destroy you. You're not even worth my time.
Well, then you have a high self-esteem, and I'm proud of you, because I don't.
Right. Let's hug.
All right, so do you guys have anything else to say about leveling, learning skills, rewards within the battle system?
We're all going to make it, bro. We're all
going to
make it, bro.
What? What?
We're all going to make it, bro, killing.
Thanks, man. No, but again, I just want to stress that reward the player for gameplay. That's really the only thing I can address in closing for that.
All right, well, that ties into exactly what I was going to say. My whole thing is reward the player for something that he already wants to do. And this is pretty much my biggest thing when it comes to game design. A lot of my articles talk about the same idea. If the player wants to naturally do something in your game, reward him for doing that. Like, if your game is heavy on exploration, make sure there's a lot of rewards for exploration. If your game has a lot of battles... Make sure that leveling is frequent, make sure there's lots of skills, so the player is encouraged to do what he wants to do in your game. If you have, like, somebody test playing your game, and you find that a lot of people are trying to do something, you should find a way to incorporate that in the game, take that feedback, and encourage them to do that, and then reward them for doing it. And, I mean, I think that speaks a lot about the whole achievement system thing that's pretty popular these days, where... Players will see something, right? Like, there are a lot of times I'm playing a game, and I'm thinking, maybe I can do this awkward thing just to see if I can do it. And then I do it, and I feel really cool. Like, I find a secret area, or I jump super high. Like, I mean, obviously I talk about a platformer, not an RPG. But, like, I find something that might not be easily or instantaneously noticeable for people. And I get there, and I feel really cool about it, right? And now that there's achievements that are really popular, you get there and you see a little achievement unlocked pop up, and you're like, cool, I unlocked this thing, and it recognized that I put the effort into it. And it's not much, but if the player's already trying to do something, and you can recognize that and encourage him to do it, give him a reward for something that he wants to do anyway, he's going to want to keep playing your game. And my favorite example of this... is actually from Magic the Gathering. Not everybody might be familiar with this game, but the key resource system in the game is land cards, right? You play a land every turn, and those are your energy for the game. And there was one set or block of cards where the mechanic of the game was based around playing your land every turn. And normally it's just a resource, but in this block... The designers of the game were thinking, how do we make it so that land cards are relevant? And originally they came up with the design that instead of playing a land for your turn, you can do something else and you can get a bonus for it. Like, your creatures get bigger if you choose not to play a land for the turn. And when they were testing, they realized that there was a massive problem because players did not want to hold back their land because so many other expansions of the game had taught them that, yes, play a land every turn so you can get your resources to the max, right? So instead of making it don't play a land, they altered the mechanic to say when you play a land, this happens. And as a result, players loved it. It was a really popular mechanic, a really popular block, a lot of powerful cards in a really fast way. I personally loved the play environment for that. But the idea was that you play a land, you get a bonus for something that you already are doing anyway. And this kind of reward encourages people to play the game they want to play, and it encourages them to keep playing the game.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun. The player feels happy he's playing the game. He's not going to stop.
That's ultimately the emotion you want to elicit in a player.
Exactly. You want the player to say, oh, I'm doing something right here, I'm getting rewarded, instead of, like, you're playing an RPG, and you find some area, and it's really difficult, you get to the end, and you open a chest, and it's like, you found a potion and 10 gold. You know, it's like, you just get frustrated, you know, it's like a waste of your time. Or you're playing an RPG, and you fight a boss, and the door doesn't open, and you have to go back to the guild leader. That's just frustrating. It makes you feel like the game doesn't care. But if you reward the player for what he's doing already, if he's doing it anyway, and you give him extra rewards for it, then he just feels like he's having more fun, right? Like, that's what it comes down to. Yeah, fun.
That's what
fun
games are, fun.
And then people want to be rewarded. Players want rewards. That's just what fun is, really. It's about getting something from the experience.
Yeah. You definitely want to reward the player for their time. You definitely want them to have fun with your game. I mean, the whole reason we play games is to escape, like, it's an escape. The point is to have fun. It's the same reason we read books, watch movies, listen to music. We want to sit there and enjoy ourselves. We want to get some kind of experience out of what we're playing. You know, whether it's a simple game like Angry Birds or Tetris, where you're just sitting there solving a little mini puzzle and you get an instant score reward, or you're playing something very verbose like Metal Gear Solid or Final Fantasy, where you're just sitting there going, I want to enjoy the story while also having some influence on it. I mean, whatever you do with your game, you definitely want the player to enjoy playing the game. If at any point the player is sitting there going, they're just going to stop playing. And generally, the goal I like to think of when I'm trying to design my game is, if there's any point where I'm working on my game and testing it, and I'm just like, and I've played it for the millionth or 50th time, and I'm just sick of it, I sincerely consider just scrapping that feature. I'm just like, it seemed cool in my head, but when I play it for the 50th time, I'm like, this is fucking, it's a waste of my time. Then I just have to go, you know, it was cool, but I'm going to cut it out.
So this is one of those subjects that bleeds into all other aspects of game design. We wanted to talk about this not only because it ties into the holiday theme, but because it's the kind of thing that going forward we're going to be referencing a lot. The idea of rewarding the player, giving him incentive to continue playing the game. So that said, Reynard, what are your final thoughts on this?
My final thoughts on this is going to be the one thing that I've been repeating ad nauseum throughout the discussion, is that whatever type of reward you want to give your player, make sure that it's worth their time. The amount of time they put in, that's the type of reward they should get. The player should be feeling fun and should never feel frustrated from playing your game. If they do feel frustrated, it should be because they feel, wait a second, I messed up. I should try this a bit better this way, and then I'll reach success. They should never feel that this game is annoying as hell, I'm just going to stop playing.
Absolutely. Agreed completely. My final thought, I want to add the idea that if you ever have a doubt in your mind, should I reward the player, just go with yes. Give him something. There's no reason not to, right? Like, you can even get him something small.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
if a reward is out of it, like, if you have too many rewards, the player will just sell it and get more money. And that's something you can tweak in testing.
Yeah, you can't have too many rewards. If you're giving your player a lot of things, he might feel a little overwhelmed if you load it all in the beginning. But if you get to the point where he's doing something and you're encouraging it,
there are ways to give more. There are ways to give too many rewards. Like, in my own demo, I gave way too many antidotes in the version I released, so it made the whole aspect of being poisoned and having a poison cure skill totally pointless. But like I said, but Despain's right. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, wait a second, should I give him a reward? Just go, yeah. And you put an item there, and that's just the foundation. Through testing, you can figure out, wait, this item's not that good, let me give them something else. Or you find out, you know what, there's no point to having an item here, it really doesn't flesh out, and then you can remove it. But if you're questioning it, always default with, yeah, let me put something there to give the player something for their time.
Yeah, it can't hurt. So, exactly. Last week we had a question.
Yes, we did have a question. And that question was, how do you apply level design to your games? And we had someone who... We had two people who were kind enough to answer. Our gangsta on FinalBossBlues.com said that he likes to use side quests that reveal backstory information for the bad guys, and that all this little information will connect at the end of the game. Chad Sexington, he said he likes to break up his game into different sections, and he talks about how his level design introduces the game mechanics and then teaches the player how to use them before he gives the player the actual opportunity to use them all together, which in my opinion is just textbook tutorials how they should be. He's definitely doing stuff that's a very good thing to do with your level design.
Yeah, I agree with that. I really like the idea of using the gameplay, using your level design to teach your player how to use the skills, and then open it up so the player can use them however he wants to and try to solve puzzles that way on his own.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than getting a gameplay feature and then never using it.
Yeah.
But now this week, we're going to present a question, and that question is, how do you reward your players in your game? When you're making a game, what type of things do you do to give a player reward for their time? Whether it's on the critical path, the bonus side stuff, or via leveling up. Whatever we've talked about, whatever you can think of on your own. Just how do you give your players rewards? So from there, I think we've pretty much wrapped it up. What do you think?
Yep, alright. Yeah, I think this was a pretty decent episode. I mean, next week, we're not going to be having an episode because it's the holidays. So we'll see you in the new year, I think, really?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Yes. Alright, so we've taken it through this year. Killam actually timed out a little bit earlier, so he's not here for the outro, but this has been Despain.
And Reynard Frost.
And as always, you can leave us a reply on the RPG Maker web forum topic, or you can hit us up on Twitter at FinalBossBlues or
at Reynard Frost.
And of course, you can leave us a comment on FinalBossBlues.com. Thank you all for listening, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
I didn't fucking time out. You blocked me from the conversation.